Okay, we're continuing in the Chassidus Mvuaris. We're on page Shin Yud Tes, explaining the Tanya. We're at the end of the eighth parak. We're talking about Chochmas Umas Ha'olam, the learning the wisdom of the non-Jews of the world. And we said how what makes it worse than idle chatter and other things like that is because it now engages the higher levels of Chabad, because you're thinking, you've been using your mind. And you're using your mind in areas that are totally not connecting you to Hashem and remains with least klipas noga, if not worse, in the highest levels. And we will see, as we'll continue to see, you know, how it becomes so negative. And the brackets right before those bold words, shenaflu, also talks about how it brings you to arrogance and things like this. And he says, a person shouldn't think, what's the big deal about the tumah of chachma sa'umas olam? At the end of the day, it's still chachma. There's true content, right? We're not talking about heresy. So to this, he continues. He says, now this is a little bit, a lot mystical here, so we're not going to totally get it all, but we'll just get through it, as they say. Shinaflu shama bishvira sakelim. Because that chachma, it fell there from a breaking of the kalim, breaking the utensils. What is that supposed to mean? So he explains, the Chassidus Mvuaris explains these two words. Mvuar b'kisa rizal. The rizal explains. She's havus haklipos min haktusha hi al yedei tahalich hanikr b'shem shvirus hakelim. That the reality of klipos, that they come into existence from holiness, usually, klipa, is a problem. Klipas noga, let's say, right? That's covering up something that is holy, right? So these klipas, remember, everything has to come from kedusha. And usually it comes through a tahalich, a pathway that's called shfiras hakelim, breaking up of the kelim, perish. Hamerchak v'hapa'ar ben kedusha leklipa gadol v'atzum kolkach, the distance between Kedusha and a Klipa, it's such a vast gap between the two of them. Shetzimtzumim v'yiridus al hachiyas halokis v'seder v'adraga ba'ofen shal hishtalshalus. That normally, when things come down from the higher realms, they usually come down with tzimtzum and yiridus, constrainments and descents that usually go down in a gradual descent, as it were. That's what usually happens. And therefore, and the lo yigrum bishum ofen shekedusha tapach leklipa, it really shouldn't cause that holiness should turn into a klipa. In other words, really, when godly things come straight down, usually it should still be godly, and it just comes down a little more filtered, a little bit less apparent holiness. But it shouldn't really cause such a destruction, as it were, to things coming down in this world. L'shem kach, so in other words, so how do you get something to be such a nasty klipa? Okay? In other words, normally, if the way normally things happen in this world, normal, good, healthy things, even in Hashem's world, it's extremely holy. By the time it comes down, slowly, okay, it's not as holy. Okay, fine. But to produce a klipa, there has to be an alteration of the whole system. You need a descent with big jumps. Shelo beseder hadraga, not in the normal way that things filter down. When you have a descent that jumps and going out of the normal pattern, nikras b'shem nefila. That's called a falling. That's called a falling. Just like something falls from a very high place to a very low place. Not in the normal fashion. You know, in a simple way, you know, you can have a 100-story building, you can take the stairs, you can take the elevator, or you can jump. Okay, now that's pretty good options, right? All right, so you take the stairs, you may come down winded. But the elevator, it might come down, take a few minutes. you jump, it goes fast, but you ain't going to retain what you had when you came up the same way. So, you know, so all these things, everything in this world is from a tzimtzum. And everything really is shviras hakelim. Everything in this world is from shviras hakelim, breaking of the utensils. So I don't really want to go into that right now. But, you know, there's too much godliness contained in what's there, and therefore it explodes and comes down. And that explains how the whole Kedusha ever gets its way down there at all. But the main thing is it usually comes down in a graded fashion, and therefore it doesn't get harmed. It won't be as apparently godly, but it's still not going to hurt you. Even the Torah has to go through hishtalshus. The Torah from Hashem's world till it comes down here, it goes through a lot of changes. Okay, it's not the same Torah that's up there, but it's still holy. It's still Torah. It's still amazing things. But when you're dealing with certain things, if they have a nephilah, and when they fall in such a way, that's what he's saying, but it just goes straight without going through the gradual steps. So that happens. Where are we now? That falling is called shviras hakelim. That's called breaking the utensils. So it is with the wisdom of the non-Jews. Even though all wisdom from a non-Jewish source, it has to come from a chachma kedusha, she chachma iloi, which is a very high chachma. It is God's wisdom. But the distance from God's holy wisdom till the wisdom of non-Jews, God al kolkach, is such a great distance. It only can come through a fall, and not from a normal, which creates the breaking of the utensils, which is not a healthy situation at all. All right, this is a little bit beyond our practical understanding, but he's just saying that it's a really bad thing. It's really bad. It's not coming in the normal healthy way that things are supposed to come down. It's coming with a big jump, and big jumps are never healthy. That's all. It's not in a healthy way for this to come. You know, no different than if you got, let's say you got water, you got a nice stream. You know, you have some water and you want to get from water to here all the way. You got the ocean here and you've got your drinking fountain 50 miles away. Okay, so you have different tributaries. Slowly the water is less powerful than it comes to you. What if it's just a whole dam just explodes? Comes rushing in. That's not a healthy way of bringing it down.
Is it picking up sediments on the way? Is that the problem?
No, it's just too fast. Too fast, too quick. And it doesn't go through the healthy systems to allow it to penetrate in your world in a healthy way. Okay, why it has to be that way, that's just what he's saying.
And that sort of implies not only is it bad, but it's too powerful as well.
That's right. It's very powerful, and it hasn't been adjusted properly. That's what he's saying. And that so on the one hand, it's got a lot of good stuff to it, but it's way too powerful, way too... Let's look at this. It's way too seductive because we're not talking about, you know, real Rishayim here. A Russia doesn't care anything. You know, Russia, just give me some porn and I'm happy. You know? So, and some say, you know, that porn is bad, but, you know, it's not as bad as Chochmas Olam. Why? Because this really is really that close to godliness. It's powerful. It's really powerful. But the problem is, it ain't going to get you close. It's not going to get you close to Hashem. It's going to get you tied up into it to such an extent that you're never going to get out of it. And because it's so holy, so your typical Avera, let it filter. And it gets so far away, it's not really so godly anymore. Okay, so how powerful can it be when it's so far away? But if it's came down so fast, so it's got so much of the holy part, but it's not being used in a healthy way. So it's going to be a very powerful thing. It's going to be very hard to resist. And it's going to be powerfully moving you away from Hashem. That's, it's got too much good in it still that will not be used in a good way. It's going to be much more damaging than something that gets filtered down and watered down and less potent in terms of being a negative impact on the person. That's what he's saying. We have to trust him. That's how it's working. Because because it's so good, that's what makes it so bad. It really is God's wisdom. You're right, but you don't need, you know, a guy gets a PhD in the, spending years and years on the PhD of knowing the effects of solar eclipses on the mating of primates. Okay. So it's MS. Everything is this is true. Because the primates go nuts when there's a solar eclipse, and there's all kinds of things to the primate world.
To go ape.
Right? So fine. And it took him 5 years to come up with that. You know, it's like amazing. And it's true. But it takes you very far away from Hashem. You know, you could be doing so much more, and it's powerful because you used your brains.
That's because it replaces what we should really be doing.
It takes over your brains, and your brains are being taken over by something. Remember, the lowest things, porn and all that stuff, it's not taking over your brains, it's taking over the lower part of you. But when the brains are being taken over with all this very intelligent stuff, but has nothing to do with Hashem, because you're not learning it, to be close to Hashem, because you're to get close to Him, you don't need to learn that much. Right? But you're not learning to get close to Hashem, so you have a whole world that is totally disassociated from Hashem, but it's coming from the top of, and it's affecting the highest part of who and what you are. So now it totally removes you from Hashem on the highest levels. And because it's so powerful, and because it comes from a really holy source, it's something that's really interesting. Not just them, it's not talking about hockey scores, or knocking, they can write 20 pages of commentary on if the Miami Heat will win the championship. Yeah, you could try to make a lumpus out of it, but all said and done, it's a bunch of behemoths, and it's just a bunch of can the guy play? No, when you're talking about science equations and this and that, this is really using your brain, and it's really clever, and it's really something, and it's MS, right? But it's an MS that totally doesn't connect you to Hashem in any way, and that now becomes, you know, the brain source of everything else that you've got in your life. And it's just totally isn't going to connect you to Hashem.
So, for example, when we talk about the disproportionate number of Nobel Prize winners that are Jewish.
That's why. That's exactly why.
That wisdom could have been used.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Take Freud. If Freud would have used his brains, he who knows if he wouldn't have been smarter than the Briskarov. And can you imagine what Judaism would have if you have another 50 Briskarovs? Okay, that's exactly what it's doing. So it's obviously, and more than that, it's going to lead you into the worst places. You know, eventually, you develop a philosophy of life that's totally disenfranchised from Hashem and everything else.
It leads the world that way too.
That's right. So that's what he's saying over here. And he continues to Balatanya, Bibichinas from an aspect of Acharayim, from the back, Shalchach Medikidusha. What does he mean by the back? He says, it's not only that wisdom comes from a fall, Ella odzos, but more. The source of that wisdom is the lowest form of holy source. It's the lowest. There's different levels of holy wisdom. It's the lowest. Hanikra B'loshen Torah Sasod, in the mystical terms, is called Bechinas Achoraim. It's called the back, like the backhand, behind you. Shalchach Medekedusha Avchuchim. Hayim Adrega Chitzon La. It's just the most superficial and external part of the holy wisdom that's there. Shekol Achoch Mesachitzon Esemrak Psolos Chachmilo. It's only leftovers from the holy Chachma. Verak Mesolos Zu. So from the lowest level of holy wisdom falls down so fast, which is well known to those who understand mystical stuff, and we're not the biggest mystics. It's enough. We don't have to get more into that. But he's just saying it's a very powerful type of holy stuff. It hasn't had time to filter down in a way that it would become more harmless than it is. And it's the worst part of the Chachma. The least wisdom part of that wisdom is what's coming down from that. And it's still true. So what's wrong with being true? It's just, as you'll see as he's going to continue, it totally pushes you all away. That highest part is going to give orders to take your whole body away from yourself. Okay. So now in the next set of brackets, he says, Atom Amshech Rabbeinu, now the Rebbe is going to continue. The Cholmash Kosev Adkam, everything he wrote until now, this is all in general. It's been general comments. There's other exceptions to the rule. There are ways where you could learn it. He's been pretty bad on it right now, but there are ways that you can learn Goyish wisdom. Now we have to see what are the leniencies, because that is very important, because otherwise we're all going to all be a bunch of sinners over here. So we have to see how it could be used. Elim kein osa osam kardom lachtop, unless you use it an axe to chop with. That's an expression of the Talmud. Dehainu kedel hispardis mem berevach lavodas Hashem. Look at the words carefully. In order to have a parnasa from it, berevach, with abundance, to serve Hashem. So we'll see what that little word there means. Berevach lavodas Hashem. So explains the Chassidus Mevarz. Since this wisdom itself is a klipas noga, it's the shining klipa, which is something that could be elevated up or taking you to the three bad klipas. That's what it really is. It's still not evil per se. It's a klipas noga. It depends what you're going to do with it. Any klipas noga can be transformed into something good. So, because the content is not usher, it's not tame. No, the wisdom out there, it's 100% true. Elohim chachmas binyanei habriya, but their wisdom in creation, uchen ha'isulim, the prohibition to learn them, hurak machas bittul, because you're not learning. Kenishkelel, it's changing your focus in life. In other words, this is so interesting. This eclipse of the primates. You know, and you just go deeper and deeper. No, and after I finish this one, we're going to now do not just solar eclipses, but lunar eclipses, and what happens when you're in space. It's not shaykh. What we can explore over here. It's like unbelievable. So, and he happens to be a frum scientist. So the rabbi says, maybe you can come to the shir today. We'll learn a little. Rabbi, I'm very busy. You know what I'm doing? This is earth shattering. You know, I'm that close to Nobel. Rabbi, do you understand what that means? Do you understand what I'm going to do for the world with this? So how much Torah does he know? Gornished. So he doesn't learn Torah. And if you heard the Parsha class yet, you know, and all the benefits of Torah totally are gone. The whole transformation of the Jew into a really holy being, gone. Everything he does in his life is predicated on primates. And that's it. So that's a major problem. It's not the bittul Torah, you know, of idle chatter. At the end of the day, you know it's worthless. Right. End of the day. So, yeah, you know, we schmooze the whole day. You know, and people could say, you know, I could schmooze the whole day, but at the end of the day, you know it's an Irish kite. Now, you could end up not learning your whole time either. But you've only destroyed the lower parts of yourself. You haven't screwed up your brain. Because when I do bittul Torah, I'm not thinking. Here you're thinking, and now that what you think about becomes the central core of everything about your life. So that's going to be a very hard one to get out of. So these intellectual people, everything has been commandeered from the top in a way that's just not getting you close to Hashem. But on the other hand, there's nothing inherently evil with it. So what if I could somehow take a little bit of it? Not a lot, obviously, but a little bit of it, and use it for good. It's possible. Lefikach nida la'alos l'kedusha. You could turn it around into holiness. Kvishnis baralel, as we explained earlier, sheklipas noga yichol yichol la'alos v'chinis b'drega shkosh. You can always take a klipas noga and make something holy of it. Just like food is klipas noga, the couch is klipas noga, the table is klipas noga, the pen is klipas noga, all these things. Okay, now take and use it for holiness. Good. So this, although it's a very powerful and seductive klipas noga and can destroy you in much worse ways, but it's still a klipas noga, and if you know how to handle it with care, you could still bring it into kedusha. V'hainu, which means, if a person engages in this wisdom, not for the pure sake of learning this wisdom, but for what? L'shem shemayim, for the sake of heaven. And how could it possibly be the sake of heaven? So now you can make a parnasa in a very comfortable way. Al derech loshen razal, next page, the rabbis call it kardom lachtum bo, as an axe to chop with it. In other words, what do you mean? In order to serve Hashem without confusion, without worrying about making your parnasa. Aries got to make a parnosa. Some parnosas are much more difficult than other parnosas. Being a businessman is incredibly stressful, right? But if somehow this guy could use this wisdom and say, you know what, this is going to be an axe to chop with, I'm going to be able to make a parnosa much easier and much better, and I'm not going to have to worry about it. And when I leave my job, I can totally focus on Torah, right? Then that learning isn't stopping you from Torah. Not only that, it doesn't make you impure. The opposite. Just like eating foods that are allowed.
It's enabling.
Yes. That intention itself elevates the food until it's incorporated in holiness and goes up to Hashem. Same thing if you're learning these chachmas for the sake of heaven. So let's go to footnotes 50 and 52. He has two important ideas. Rabbeinu Medayik Berevach. The Rebbe is very specific. He says the word Berevach, to sustain yourself comfortably, not just to eke out a living, to be comfortable. Why does he say that? Let's say you didn't go for that PhD. You could still make a living as a dishwasher. And you make a scrimping living, minimum wage. You'll live. You'll live. I mean, you'll have a one-bedroom apartment, you know, and you have Wacky Mac for dinner every night. And you'll still learn your Torah, but it's very pressed. If you get the PhD, you could live with a more comfortable. Obviously, we're not talking about a swimming pool in Forest Hills, you know, but more comfortable, right? More comfortable than poverty, right? And that only so what? So you can really serve Hashem better. And he says in brackets what? That you could designate more time for learning Torah and giving more money for tzedakah. That's what it means. That's called learning secular wisdom in a permitted way. Okay, so you have to ask Shaul exactly what that means. So if a prince says, okay, I could just leave high school and go right to be a car mechanic, and I'll make a half decent living, but it's not going to be a lot. Or I can go, for 3 years university and be an accountant. And now that I'm an accountant, and accountants, live berevach, we'll say, relatively berevach, right? Whatever. Okay, I don't know if you want to say a doctor, because really a doctor, it's spending a long time, 8 to 10 years. I don't know, I'm not going to say. But you could live berevach. It's post facto, right? But you could live berevach. Now I don't have to worry. I 9 to 5, I have weekends off, I don't have to take the work with me, I'm doing okay. We could pay the bills, and I don't have to worry where the next dollar is coming from. I could give a nice amount of tzedakah. All right, so what did you have to? You had to learn some Narishkeit, and you had to learn some wisdom out there. Credits, debits, all these. I don't know if it's true. It could even it's not true, but it's also right. What do they say? As soon as you start work, they say whatever you learn at university, forget about it. It's all not true. But anyway, but it's to make a pernos. Okay, so you can that's okay. And it's a kardam lichtach bo. Look at footnote 52. It's an axe to chop with. Shema gon makubal Reb Levi Yitzchak Schneerson, and from the makubal Reb Levi Yitzchak Schneerson, move it's brought down. Shibulosin said, what does he mean by an axe to chop? Kavonas Rabbeinu Lirmos, he's trying to hint to something. Shakavonas shalo oisa b'chok masulus shem shemaim. The intent you have to have when you're learning this wisdom for the sake of heaven has to be oifen kazet, just like that way. It's exactly like chopping wood. It's not just stam an example. Well, you chop wood, you make money by chopping the wood. It's more than that. You could use a lot of examples of what you do to make money. What with chopping wood specifically, why klomar? Kishem kasher adam makeh bekardum. When a person uses an axe to chop wood, ain lo shum inyan betzem hakah. You don't get any pleasure out of chopping the wood. There's other things you could say that you really enjoy doing, but I don't know anybody who enjoys chopping wood. That's hard work to chop wood. You make the parnasa, but there's no physical pleasure to it. The whole pleasure, what comes out of it, is the chopped wood, and now I can use the chopped wood to make fire. But there's no pleasure in chopping wood. So when learning secular wisdom, you shouldn't have any pleasure from learning it. Only the benefit is what comes afterwards. In other words, you say, I'm going to university those 3 years, I hate it. I hate being in the university. I'm not enjoying it. It's not a pleasure for me. It's work, and that's all it is. It's not like, no, I really, really love. Even if I wasn't for a job, I would do this. No, because then that's going to suck you in. You know, L'shem Shemayim means, you know, I'm doing it for one reason. I need to make a parnasa to be a good Eved Hashem. And if I wasn't, and if I'm not getting paid, I wouldn't do this. As opposed to guys say, you know, I really love, you know, doing spreadsheets. It's amazing. I love the way the numbers, they stack up. It's like, I can do this forever. It's like Sudoku puzzles. You know, whatever. So it's like, you're not meant to enjoy it. That's when you're not doing it for the pleasure of what it's all about.
The only difficulty I have, Rabbi, is if you spend 8 hours a day doing your job, surely it should be something that doesn't give you distress.
But then you're not learning Chochmas Umos Olam anymore. That's not what you're doing now is not
application.
But what you're doing now, making the money, is not Chochmas Umos Olam.
So you're just talking about the learning.
You're allowed to enjoy a piece of food if you're eating L'shem Shemayim. You're allowed to enjoy it. Although it'd be better not if you're a bigger tzaddik, wouldn't, but you could. But eating is low level pleasures. So what if you enjoy it? When you're enjoying the Chochmas Umos, then you're going to enjoy that. You're not going to enjoy the Daf Gemara. You're not going to want to learn the Daf Gemara. You know, people who just, you know, what are these geeks, you know, these intellectuals, what do they do to enjoy themselves? They read more geeky intellectual books. They have a whole library of all these books of nonsense, but they're all true. You know, so what do you want? What are you watching? What are you doing it for? Get to learning. No. It's a whole secular mindset. It's like the theory, the pure theory of the universities in the North America in the 1600s, seven Cornell, Brown, this, they got for the sake of a liberal arts degree. To look at the world from a liberal arts perspective. That wasn't for Parnassus in those days. Rich people have nothing to do all day long. What are you going to do? You got the blacks that are taking care of your plantations. You don't have to make, the Parnassus is coming, you know, easy. So what are you going to do? So the lowlifes, what do they do? They take advantage of women, wine, and song. But there was a sophisticated persistence. I don't want to be just a guy like that. It's the arts. It's the theater. It's wisdom. Or somebody special. Yeah, but it's still... And that is more seductive than just wine, women, and song.
I hear that. I'm just thinking about the delicate balance of not being so depressed after 8 hours you can't even learn Torah because you just hate yourself.
So the difference is when you're doing your job, it's a whole different thing. Like Mayer tells me, Mayer takes certain accounts. He looks at people, and he looks at previous accountants. He said, "I don't understand. You are entitled to this deduction. I can get you back $40,000. So you taking a client for one reason. How can I fulfill the mitzvah haftal racha kamocha? That's you're allowed to get hanah from that.
Yeah.
Now I get a hanah from a mitzvah." He said, "I'm going to do the mitzvah, making Kiddush Hashem. There's a non-Jew over here. He sees I got a beanie here. And he's going to see how I legally get him every penny, but I won't do something that's illegal, and I'm not going to cheat him out, and I'm not going to, you know, and you can take pleasure in that because that's a vote of Hashem. That's what you're supposed to be doing now.
Yeah, I remember, about what I used to say.
You're making money. I'm making money. I'm taking pleasure in making money to be able to send my kids to Jewish school. I'm taking pleasure in that too. I'm taking pleasure that way I can have food for Shabbos. You know, you could take pleasure in the work. You could enjoy the work, but you're enjoying it in a way that it has to be able to tie you into Hashem. If you say, for 8 hours, I have nothing to do with Hashem. He's not in the office. Well, then you have a big problem. But when you're learning this kind of wisdom, where's Hashem over there, man? So you're saying, I'm only doing it to get a parnasa. You know, you're not going to get Kiddush Hashem when you're doing reports in university. I mean, you could technically, you know, when you're dealing with the professor and you act like a mensch. It's not the same. So that's what we're saying. You know, you don't really want to... Your attitude is, I'm in university, I hate it, and I want to get out as soon as possible. That's what he's saying. Next. What's another way? He knows how to use this knowledge to serve Hashem and for Torah. But even a higher one, a nicer way of using it would be, Another permitted way of learning it is why? To exploit that wisdom itself. Not just as an indirect. To do it, to make the money, to do Avodas Hashem. Here to do is the wisdom for Avodas Hashem. You learn this wisdom to recognize Hashem's awesome power, things He's done in the world. So, when you realize how powerful and awesome Hashem is, it arouses love of Hashem and fear of Hashem. Or for His Torah. Or you're learning astronomy to learn how to do Kiddush HaChodesh. If you learned astronomy, we'd be in the mood to learn the Rambam in Hilchos Kodesh HaChodesh. We're so dumb in astronomy. We're not going to know what he's talking about. So I need to learn to know that. Krishmei Rebbeinu Hilchos Talmud Torah, like the Rambam, like the Balatanya. Balatanya brings in his Sefer Talmud Torah. Shuchalum of Mitochem, you could learn this. Mitochem Divrei Torah Yishmael Derech Eretz. From the wisdom, you can learn Torah and fear of Hashem and Derech Eretz. You're not learning it just so you have the ability to serve Hashem afterwards, because I can make a parnas and then serve Hashem. No. But the learning itself is a part of Avodas Hashem. She asked me initial mitzvah, just like eating, which itself really is a mitzvah. When you're eating holy foods. But not just so you could serve Hashem afterwards. When you're eating food, it's not just I'm eating food so I have the strength to serve Hashem later. So what is this? This isn't really holy. It's just a means to holiness. No, when you're eating, you say, I'm really doing this because I want to appreciate the love that Hashem has for me right now as I'm eating the food right now. And that's my verse, Hashem, here and now, and I'm getting close to Hashem while I'm eating the food, not later. Same thing here. You're learning that wisdom to get you to fear and appreciate Hashem right now. That only works someone who knows how to use it to serve Hashem for His Torah. V'daf galo mutalum eschachmasumus. Only for such a person can he learn this wisdom, lavod Hashem Torah, to claim it's to serve Hashem for His Torah, bofen shel esek v'kfiyas, to learn it in a way of, to really learn it. In other words, you've got to be a very, what's the word I'm looking for?
Focused
is a good word. Is another word, but focus is a good word. But you clearly know I'm only learning this in only the way that it gets me close to Hashem, and you can be very disciplined. Mm-hmm. You're disciplined. I only learn what I need to know to get close to Hashem. I only learn what I need to know to understand this Gemara. You know, okay, we're learning about tzitzis. How to make the tzitzis. So really, we didn't know what carding meant. How do you card wolves? Didn't know what it meant. I don't know what it is. Okay, so we could watch an 8-hour video. We can go to a field trip and this and that and spend the whole day. All right, go to YouTube and in 5 minutes I got it all. It was just to get what you need and then let it go. You have to be very disciplined and focused. And not everybody can be that way. Once you get into it, all of a sudden, boom. You could fall into that for the rest of your life, Well, it's really interesting. I'm going to keep this up and get emails sent regularly about improvements in the carding project. people can go that way, right? But you don't want that. And it's only special people can know to use what you need to use and then get rid of it. Mashi Egan, which is not the case, Eitzel Robanam, by most people, Ikra Isik Charchlios, Vitoras Vinyan Meir Shemayim, where they're really supposed to be involved mainly in Torah and Yir Shemayim. Rak derech agav, right? But that learning should only be backhanded. That's what it really should be. Really, the main thing should be to serve Hashem. And this is just kedem li'istay b'hem lafonis. This is to help to learn Torah, to help you to serve Hashem. But not everybody can do that. It's too seductive, and you could fall prey to that. That's the problem. Let's go to the next page. Shin Chavetz. The Talmud are the reason for this. Even though this learning of secular wisdom could bring you to greater understanding of Torah, and the person's learning it, think that's the only reason I'm learning it, to get me better to learn Torah. But the nature of this seductive nature of this wisdom, because it is so true, it pulls people after them. To get engaged in it, to have more pleasure from that. Achakashma Lishna, it's very hard to turn them away from that. It's hard to stay away. It's so good. It tastes good. It's the real thing. And I can't get away from it. That could end up, such a learning can impurify your whole chachma, bin, and das, and distance you from avodas Hashem. Spending hours and hours, where's the Torah? Where's the learning? And that Torah is what molds the way you look at life. And if you're looking at it from the secular wisdom, that doesn't, as good as it is, it's not going to mold your, who you are. As we said in the Tuesday class, the more Torah you learn, the more you get in contact with your neshama. The more science you learn, the more you're not going to get more in contact with your neshama. And if it's taken away from Torah, you're going to be less in contact with your neshama. Okay, I need to do this for an hour till I understand this completely. Now remember when you learn Gemara Shabbos, there's one whole thing about the loom. It says one guy, Frum guy, he constructed a whole loom, the whole thing, and he'd go from yeshiva during Daf Yomi. You'll see in about 4 months after Daf Yomi, they start again. He's going to go to every yeshiva. Because he brings his whole loom and he spends about an hour. He explains exactly the whole process. And this is what the Gemara means with this. This is what it means. Over, you have to, Imamish has to sit for about an hour and a half. Because there's a lot.
That with the Shek thing as well, with the video and the guy who went around. And sort of
that same thing. Okay, but that's it. But when I'm done, I don't go back to that loom. I'm not interested in that loom. I just did it. So now when I'm going to learn, I'm going to understand exactly what that is. Right? So that, but that's so hard to get away from it. Next paragraph. But only somebody who's in a very high level of Torah. And he's clearly only wants one thing. I want Torah. I only want what it has to give me. It's like a chariot of godliness. He's already subjugated himself to serve Hashem, to be dedicated and to give himself over only for Hashem. He's all there. He's totally connected to Hashem. With his whole essence. He could learn this chachmas of the world truly just for service of Hashem. Not that, not only they don't blemish him, he clarifies, he purifies it. He takes it all for Kedusha. That requires a great person. This is what the Baal Tam meant when he said, Shiyodea. He knows how to use it. He knows how to use it to serve Hashem. What does he mean, he knows? He mean Haino Ba Madregi, such on a level, Shiodea Ketsu Lavarach Hamzol. He knows how to sift through the information. Rakhu Rashal, so only he can learn it. He means a person who's so committed to Torah. You know, every 3 minutes I go back to Torah. So I'm doing that as an interruption, only to the extent that I have to understand my Torah. But as soon as I got up, okay, so it's very fascinating. You know, if you'd like, I could take you to the planetarium with you also. We have a beautiful showing, going to know about all the new things. Thank you very much. I'm sure it's interesting, but I know everything I need to know to make Kiddush HaChodesh now. No, but we could show you there, come with a new planet and this and that. And wouldn't that be interesting to see the new planet, to see it? It's enough, right? Vizel, now the last lines. Vizel, Taimushal, Rambam, Ramban, Zichron Vracha, Visiyosin, Shazman. And this is the only reason why the Rambam and Ramban, of blessed memory, and people like them engaged in secular wisdom. And that, this is the point. Gidol Yisrael, great rabbis, come on, Rambam, Ramban, Zal. Hoba Madrega Gavoa, they are on such a high level. Shiyadol Yisrael, they knew how to use it for Avodas Hashem only. Vizu Haisa Kol Kavonasa, the Iskam B'chom, so that was our whole intent of being involved in learning the sciences. To elevate it and clarify it for holiness. That's the reason they got involved in that. People are going to say, well, you know, I don't understand. Why can't I go to university? The Rambam was a scientist. Okay, if you have the mind of the Rambam and the focus of the Rambam, you can do that. But I don't think you are. You know, that's what they said. I think it was Rav Baruch Ber Leibowitz. I think it's attributed to him. Pretty sure. You know, he was mentioning, because in his day, the Haskalah was really strong. If you want to go away, I said, what do you want? The Rambam did this. You know, or even people, the Lubavitcher Rebbe went to university in Germany. It was a big, Russia Bear Soloveitchik. Had some real heavy duty people. I think Rav Hutton, I don't remember. A lot of really, they went to, in the 1920s, they went to University of Berlin. So I said, how can you do this? I said, I'll give you an analogy. Let's say a guy is building a very small shack to live in. One room house. He says, where do you put the toilet? Here's the toilet. You put it in the backyard outside. Right? But if you have a 50-room mansion, you could have a couple toilets there, you know. Mm-hmm. You're way back in the back of the mansion, you know, all right, you know. And it won't smell up the whole mansion because it's a huge mansion. Mm-hmm. But if you put the toilet right in the one-bedroom house, the whole house is going to smell from a toilet. Mm-hmm. So he said, these people, their minds were so big and was so focused on Torah, you could put a little toilet there. It's not going to smell up the whole thing because, yeah, you know, you got to go to the bathroom, but you don't say, okay, I'm going to live in the bathroom now.
And they know how to close the door to the toilet.
They know how to close the door. And I got, you need a toilet. You need a toilet. But you don't need the toilet to smell up the whole house. Our minds are so small.
It takes it over.
This wisdom will totally smell up the whole one. Our brains are just the one little small one bedroom apartment. So the whole place is going to stink. Right? So that's the difference. So we can't bring a proof from great, great people who are in science, but they're able to just be focused and say, that's all I need, and I close the door and goodbye. So therefore, although this wisdom is important, so you have to really ask Shilas in terms of going to university, all these things, it has to be done in a way that fits this. If not, it could be the worst destruction. That's the worst, and that's why again, Gedolim are very concerned of how you go to university, if that's the best environment, to try to find kosher environments for that. Besides all the other issues, the most thing that you think is the least problem is the biggest problem. That your mind will be totally captivated by these things that totally keep you away from Torah. Okay, Shkayach, so we finish this. Mish Hashem next week, with Hashem's help, we'll start the next volume.